Evening. Thank you for having us. And it was a year ago, April, that we were here. Don't worry about it. You said you're young, you forget. I'm not young, I forget. They say that the memory is the second thing to go. I can't recall what goes first, but memory's second, so it only gets better from here. We are very, very happy to be here. Of course, we're on the island, which makes things so much nicer than being in southern Ontario, which is nice, but busy, very, very busy. So we do thank you for having us here tonight and allowing me to share an update on FBH. We thank you for your prayers, both for the ministry and for our family. It's busy sometimes. Now, I'm fortunate that my family loves to travel all over Ontario and elsewhere with me, but it does get busy, and you can get pretty run down, and then as well as just different areas that we've been serving this summer with camps and other things on the go, we are ready for this break. Before we get into the update, I would like to share just a short devotion. This is something that's been on my heart a lot lately as I go to different places and on more occasions than I would like, I hear something after I share from the Word, I hear something like, wow, it's been a long time since we've heard the gospel preached. And that is alarming to me. Because I recognize that there's a need for ministry and for exploring what God's Word says and what it says to us as believers. The reality is, we as believers need to hear the gospel on a regular basis, but we also need to be prepared to share the gospel and have the gospel being presented for those who need to be saved. So if you would turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to start reading in at verse 8, and then we're going to jump back a little bit. But verse 8 of Romans chapter 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And now, the immediate context of Romans chapter 10 is actually concerning Israel, but this passage really applies and is true for all people. In fact, Paul includes all people in verse 12 when he says there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. And then in verse 18, Paul would resume talking about the nation of Israel. But I want to go back as we look at this and as we look at the need for gospel outreach to chapter 1 of verse 10. And Paul writes, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Now again, he's speaking of the Jews. He's speaking of the Israelites. But we can take so much out of this for us today. My heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Think of someone in your life. Think of someone that you know. Maybe it's a family member, maybe a neighbor, someone that you know who is lost. And once you've got them on your heart and on your mind, the first step is to pray for them. to ask God to save them, for them to understand who God is, who the Lord Jesus is, and why he came. So that's step one in our evangelistic efforts. Are we praying for the lost? Now, we can pray generically for the lost, and it's good to do so, to pray for the lost of this community around Charlottetown Bible Chapel, to pray for the lost of the city of Charlottetown, for the province of Prince Edward Island, for the nation of Canada, to pray for the lost. We can do that, but how often are we taking time specifically to narrow that down to those specific people in our lives, those we know, we love them dearly, and we want them to be saved. We want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And now consider this. Thinking about that same person in your life, that hopefully in your hearts you even just prayed for them that God would save them. Consider this. God has put them and their salvation on your heart and mind for a purpose. Share the gospel with them. Now, Romans 10 talks about, you know, a preacher being sent, but we don't really need to look farther than the end of Matthew's gospel and the end of Mark's gospel to find that we're sent as believers in Christ. We are commissioned by Christ to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and to make disciples of every nation. We're commissioned by God to do that. It's not always easy. We will make ourselves vulnerable. We may even risk our relationship with that person. But it's something that must be done. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And now, one aspect of this is because the Lord at this time is ultimately referring to his upcoming physical death on the cross. And that we can associate this, and sometimes we do associate this with the idea of physical death, of physically dying, risking our lives for those we love. But let's take it into the realm of earthly comfort for a moment. Let's take it into the realm of sharing the gospel with those that we know and love who are lost, who are perishing. The loss of our social reputation, perhaps. Not our testimony, but are we willing to sacrifice our reputation in and around our family members, in and around our coworkers at our place of work? The idea of becoming someone despised by those outside of Christ because of our faith. Are we ready and prepared to do that? It's the idea of being ridiculed, of being made fun of and mocked, even by those we care about. It's the idea of being rejected, isolated, and excluded from those around us. Now, I know rejection hurts. I've suffered a great deal of rejection over the course of my life, over a great many things. I know how much rejection can hurt. I know how much it can hurt to be isolated, to be excluded from different things. But the question remains concerning the people that we were just thinking about. Do you love them enough to lay aside your life for their eternal soul? Now, perhaps you do. The Bible also says, though, that we are to love our enemies, and that's using that agape love. So now we can go beyond those people that we love and care about, and we're willing to give up all of that stuff to help them be saved. But the Bible says that the same love that we're to love one another, the same love that we're to love our neighbors, is the same love, agape, unconditional, expecting nothing in return, that we're to love our enemies. And so the next question then becomes, are you willing to lay aside your life for their souls? Think of the person that's already opposed to you because you're a believer in Christ. It's already opposed. It already wants nothing to do with you simply because you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to put your life, your reputation, your earthly reputation, your social status on the line for their salvation? Because the reality is that Jesus was. Jesus came to earth as a man. He walked around. He gave up his life for tax collectors and sinners, those that would cause people to shun him just for associating with them. Are you, am I, I should mention that. These are all questions I have to ask myself every day. It's easy to do this from behind a microphone that's going out on the internet where no one can actually say mean things to me except on comments that I have the authority to delete. Are you willing to lay aside your life out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep his commandment to love? And he gave us the ultimate example by dying for us on the cross. And I think this is critical. Sharing the gospel is difficult for reasons already mentioned and many more. But if before we see it as an act of love and service to those that we minister the gospel to, we can recognize it as a love response to our Lord and Savior who died so that we can enjoy everlasting life in a personal relationship with him and our Heavenly Father, then the difficulties become so much easier to bear. Jesus loved us and gave his life for us so that we could have eternal life in heaven and we could know him personally and we could enjoy everything that comes with being found in Christ. And he's asked us to go and share the gospel with those who don't know that reality yet. And so can we see this? Can we see our personal evangelism, our collective evangelism as a body of Christ, as a love response to our Lord and Savior? Because, again, as we've read, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's simple, really. It's faith and trust in Jesus that his offering on the cross was the full satisfaction for our sin. And acknowledging that Jesus and only Jesus can purify our souls from sin and prepare us for everlasting life in heaven. It's simple, but people need to hear it. And so I'll ask one final question before I close this devotional thought. How beautiful are your feet? How beautiful are your feet? The Bible says, beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things, who bear the good news of the gospel. How beautiful are your feet? I don't offer this as a criticism. I offer this as an encouragement, and I include myself in that encouragement. Be encouraged. God wants us to do this. Now, we know not everyone we share the gospel with will be saved. In fact, many will reject Christ. But you know what? God hasn't charged us with results. He's commissioned us to faithful action in making the Lord Jesus Christ known to the world. And so with that, a challenge in love, let's get out there and share the gospel. And I'll move on to our update of FBH International. We've made this focus of sharing the gospel very intentional. There was a time recently where our shift, at least in our English language mission, went more towards that creating Bible programs for believers, creating audio programs, even a whole radio station that was designed for believers to give things like current events and other things from a Christian perspective. And that's what the ministry had been doing. Recently, we've taken on the exercise to really evaluate who we are as a ministry and what our purpose is. In a media world where there is so much content that is built around Christians tearing down other Christians, often over some of the pettiest issues, or content made for believers that go into deep theological matters, and I'm not discounting the value of those, but what we realized is that there was a lack of content aimed specifically at unbelievers with the intention of drawing them to Christ. A lack of content online for that. A lack of content clearly presenting the gospel and inviting people to believe and to be saved. And most importantly, doing that from the Word of God rather than from a more philosophical, apologetics-based approach. And again, I'm not saying anything negative about apologetics, but oftentimes, I'm sure we've seen it sometimes, where someone can make an incredible case for why to believe in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't open the Bible once or quote it once. And it's so our our purpose was really to present the gospel as it's presented to us in the Word of God. And so from that, we reworked our mission statement a little bit. And our mission statement now is FBH impacts people globally by using communication technology and innovation to present biblical truth, encouraging them into a transformative relationship with Jesus Christ. We share the gospel in the hopes that they will come to know, not just know what the gospel is, but enter into that life-changing relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now, to achieve this, we've actually adopted what really became an impact statement we had done for a conference a couple years ago, but we've adopted that into really the main vision for our ministry at FBH. We call it our impact statement, and I may have shared this last year, but I'll share it again because this is really what our aim is to do, how we seek to achieve our mission. So we've made it an acronym. We want to initiate conversations about Jesus Christ. One of the best ways for people to learn more about a subject is to talk about that subject. And we want people talking about the Lord Jesus because we want them to learn more about who he is and what he's done. We want to make disciples of new believers. When someone does make a decision to place their trust in the Lord for salvation, we don't want to just say, okay, you're on your own now. We do want to follow up with them. We want to make sure that they have material available so that they can grow in their new faith. And we want to have that material available that's not too far ahead of where they are spiritually. So really starting at those really entry-level stages of discipleship and following Christ. We want to pray with and for spiritual seekers and listeners. And this is so critical. I can probably, if I thought about it, list a couple dozen occurrences just in the last 4 months where we as a ministry or as a family have seen direct answer to prayer. We need to be praying. God has asked us to pray. The Lord Jesus commanded us to pray. And yet sometimes it's an avenue that we either don't use or we wait till the very last minute. We do everything else that we think we can do first and then say, okay, I can't do it. Let's pray about it. We want to make that one of the first steps. We want to pray with them, especially if they want to know more about who Christ is. We want to pray that God will open their minds, open their hearts to who his son is. Oh, thank you, brother. We want to make sure that everyone who comes to us has access to the Word of God. Sometimes that's as simple as directing them to an app that they can download the Bible and have it on their phone. Sometimes we still get requests from places in different parts of the world where they're like, can you mail us a box of Bibles? And so we do have contacts. Actually, my colleague Mark Hillis is on the board of directors for EPI. And so we have both connections to people who print and people who ship. But we want to make sure if someone contacts us and says, we want a Bible, we want to get a Bible in their hand because there's no more important piece of literature, if I can call it that, out there. We want to connect people to a local church fellowship. So this goes hand in hand with making disciples of new believers. There's only so much that we can do while sort of going back and forth by internet or phone. We want to, if someone has a desire to be saved or is saved, we want to find a local assembly in the area they live that we can connect them with so that they can come and join a body and have fellowship with other believers and grow spiritually through those means as well. And then finally, we recognize that the technology we have, though a lot of it in this world is used for evil, a lot of it can be used to glorify God. And so we want to make sure that the technology we have available to us, we are using that to glorify God. So that's our impact statement. Now, as for connecting to local churches, I'll address that a little later on as there's more that we're actually planning with that, and it's actually pretty exciting. I will take a quick moment just to go through the brief history of FBH, simply because, just in case there's someone who may not be familiar, I know so many of you are familiar with the work of FBH, but just a brief history. We started in 1951 on CJON in Newfoundland as the Newfoundland Gospel Hour with Donald Moffat. In 1954, they moved the whole ministry to Ontario. Don came with it, And he continued to do the messages, and another brother, Arnett McEntee, began to host the program. In 1961, Don retired, and Arnett continued in now recording the weekly messages and hosting, as well as bringing on other men like Boyd Nicholson and a host of others, George Telfer, to help with some of those with some of the messages. During those years with Arnett, FBH partnered with many other ministries like Trans World Radio and Far East Broadcasting, which translated and carried the radio program into about 35 different countries and regions, mostly through shortwave. Now, if you're not familiar with shortwave, it has an incredible reach if the signal is unimpeded. And so at that time, they couldn't go into the Arab world, but they could actually reach it from Monaco. And so there was a huge transmitting station in Monaco that was reaching all of the Arab world. In 1994, Arnett retired, and Ron Hughes, who was back from a missions work in Ecuador, he took over the directorship of FBH, and he stayed for quite some time. It was in the 2000s, though, that due to cost concerns and a general shift in the willingness of secular radio stations to host our program, which was always our intent. We never wanted our gospel programming to go out on Christian radio station because that's not who we were targeting. We wanted it on secular radio. We wanted it so that the person who listens to AM 900 every day gets in his car on Sunday morning, it's already tuned to AM 900, and there's Arnett preaching the gospel. And that was the whole idea of being on secular radio. Now, in the 2000s, the radio stations decided that they didn't really want religious content on their stations. And so that started to dwindle, and for reasons really that came down to budget, it became not being a good use of the money we had to keep trying to buy this airtime. So they stopped the radio program in North America, though they still prepared it for our partners overseas, and they still took it and translated it and broadcast it into their countries. But now with this aspect of the ministry loss, Ron switched the focus to the, at that time, uncertain area of internet media, beginning with weekly podcasts and then followed in 2015 with a full online radio station, HopeStream Radio. In October of 2019, Ron retired from the ministry, and I took on the responsibility of directing the work of FBH International, and that brings us to today. And so we'll get into our update now, and I'll start with our overseas partners, Arab World Media. So Arab World Media is a little bit different from our standard partnership. They actually do all of their own content for cultural reasons. You know, the way things work in the Middle East and North Africa and among Islamic nations is quite a bit different than how they work here or how we think they might work there. So they do all of their content, and FBH really sponsors three response workers, Adel, Mira, and Nada. And I'll get into them in just a minute, but it actually began with a program called Champions of Faith in 2005. It lasted for about 4 years. We did have an Arabic board member who was in charge of all the scripting, and then once that sort of tapered off, that's when it got into the way that we do it now. But these individuals, Adel, Mira, and Nada, they field calls and emails from Arabic speakers who have heard the online programs and wish to know more about Jesus and Christianity. Some of their conversations are extremely difficult. Sometimes they receive threats. Sometimes they have to sort of unteach everything that the caller or the emailer has been taught about Christianity from their Islamic background. And so it can be very difficult. Sometimes they see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and they might have a couple follow-up calls, and then they never hear from them again. And often the reason they never hear from them again is because that person has been, in one way or another, made unable to contact them anymore, without getting into too many details. But some of their their conversations are very difficult. They deal with an awful lot, yet they faithfully share Christ with all who contact them. Even the people who contact them to threaten them, they share Christ with. They've had people literally calling them and saying, "We know where you are. We're coming to kill you." And Adil said, "Okay, before you do that, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ." That individual was actually saved. It's a remarkable story that, if I have time, I'll share it later. But it was a remarkable story about a person who was an executioner with ISIS who had called in and threatened them. They also, Adil and Mira, anyway, they also lead online Bible studies through Zoom, and they're really designed for those who are calling from countries or regions where they are unable to meet with a local church, either for security reasons or because there just isn't one in their area. And dealing with the Arab world, there are a lot of those regions where there is no local church for some of these people to fellowship with. I will say that there are record numbers of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the Arab world, and we praise the Lord for that, because only He can do that. Only He could reach people in an area like that. I do want to share one testimony. There's just some stats. That's from the 2023 highlights from our partners. 460 million people in the Arab world, and 450 million of them follow Islam. 70% have no access to the gospel, but they've had 19,000 individual conversations last year, 14,000 Bibles downloaded from their website, and 465 professions of faith with 44 baptisms. And those baptisms typically are public baptisms. They're done outside in a river or some kind of pool, but they're public. They are making a public profession of faith in a country that does not want them to make a public profession of faith. Alam, she's an Arab working woman. She works for an embassy in a Muslim country. Before I say this, and I'm sorry for the people watching online, is it possible to pause the online stream? Almost got myself into trouble there. This one is not one that's allowed to be shared online, so I apologize to those people online. We'll be right back. Grab a coffee or something. Are we good? So she accepted Jesus into her life 6 years ago through our Arabic website, and then she started working for this embassy in a Muslim country. Since meeting in person was impossible, she joined one of those online discipleship groups. And she had an app also where she could deepen her understanding of Christianity, and then a Zoom group that came with it, and a virtual community where she could connect with other believers. She took her laptop to work, and she studied the discipleship program throughout the day during her breaks. Her best friend, Nahid, also worked at the embassy because they were close. And because they were so close, they often opened each other's purses and laptops and phones. And as a result, Nahid discovered that Alam was looking at Christian websites. And Nahid asked Alam, "Are you a Christian? Are you wanting to know more about Christianity?" And Alam replied, "Yes, I admit that I am a Christian." So Nahid told her that she would inform the embassy and the government of the country, of the host country, that a Christian was working there. And Alam was very anxious about this. She was anxious that she would lose her job and the possibility that the government of the host country might actually harm her. She messaged Adil, asking, "Why has God allowed this?" She wondered, why did I say I believed in Jesus? Why didn't I just deny him? And she didn't know what to do. The embassy and the government suspended her and wanted to question her. There would be an inquiry, and she could only wait for the result. The whole process took a week, and it was a roller coaster of emotions for Alam. She had no one to confide in except for Adil. She felt a deep sense of helplessness and isolation. Adil himself was unsure of how God would solve this problem. He steadfastly spent that week talking and praying with Alam about her situation. The night before the embassy's decision, Alam went to bed, her tears a testament to her inner turmoil. Eventually, she decided to pray about the situation one last time and then go to sleep. as she prayed, she said she felt a peace come over her. She prayed to the Lord, "I don't care what happens to me tomorrow. Thank you for saving me and for staying with me. I'm sorry for doubting and having fears. I don't care what happens to me. It is enough that you are near." On the way to work, Alam felt awed and confused, as she said, by the peace that she felt. But she was still anxious about what would happen when she got there. Once she entered the building, she was given a written apology and a month's salary as compensation, a clear indication that her faith was not a barrier to her professional life. This unexpected turn of events filled her with gratitude and reassurance, affirming her belief in the power of God's intervention. The embassy stated that no outsider could intervene, not even the government of the host country. No one working in an assembly, in an embassy, can be judged by the laws of the country. They accepted her as a Christian and told Alam they wanted her to stay and continue working there. And so what a powerful God we serve. The nation whose embassy she worked for was a nation that has religious freedom, though it's not open to evangelism, not necessarily open to Christianity, but they do have religious freedom in that country. And so God answered her prayer. And I thought, as that story came in, I thought to myself, would I have been able to do the same? Would I have even been able to admit to my best friend under those circumstances that I was a believer? But we see such strength in the faith of new believers in the Arab world, knowing what they face for accepting Christ. They're all in. They're all in, and they're not afraid to admit it. And God is just doing wonderful, wonderful things in the Arab world. Moving on, we get to Russia. Now, Igor Popov and Vlad Yurtov produce our program in Russian. And how it works is they go, that for them and Ukraine as well, they go to our HopeStream radio site and they choose the content they want to use from there, and they translate it and they adapt it to their culture and they put it out for the people in their respective countries to help reach them with the gospel. The ministry in Russia has been hit hard by many social and political issues lately. There are increasing restrictions around evangelical media. You're already not allowed to speak out against the government or against the war in Ukraine under penalty of imprisonment. But Protestant and evangelical organizations are now being classified as Western influence in the country of Russia. And so what that means is that it seems each week more and more restrictions are being added to what they can and can't say. Some of the other broadcasters with our partners there have already been questioned by the Russian security forces, and many of the producers have been threatened with drafting into the Russian army. And there's sort of I don't know if it's a stereotype or if it's a reality, but there's this fear that for people who are drafted into the Russian army, what they do is they basically send you right to the front line so that they can protect and preserve their regular soldiers. So basically, you become, for lack of a better expression, a meat shield for the soldiers who actually have proper training. So being drafted is seen by many people as just an absolute death sentence in Russia. And they get threatened, their producers get threatened that, you know, if you don't stop this, we'll conscript you into the army and you'll have to go fight in Ukraine. There are now fewer than 1% of Russians who would call themselves Protestant Christians. Even those who would consider themselves to be Orthodox, the Orthodox followers has dropped to about 66%, many of which are nominal adherents only. Adding to the challenge, I should have mentioned the stream can come back on now if it hasn't. Awesome. Sorry about that. Adding to the challenge, because state media depiction of evangelicals, this whole idea that they're Western influencers, that they're trying to break apart the country of Russia, many people in Russia are actually growing hostile towards Christianity now. And many Christians, including at least two of our FEBC broadcasters, have been forced to flee the country and they've moved to Turkey, and they're trying to produce the program from there. So far, the FBH program has been able to continue being broadcast to the Russian people, primarily through internet channels. And Igor Popov and Vlad, they do such a great job. Vlad himself has a secondary missionary ministry where if anyone calls in, again, this gets back to the impact statement and access to the Word of God. If anyone calls in and asks for a copy of the Bible in the St. Petersburg area, he will hand deliver it to them. So he gets on his bike, he rides and finds wherever they are, they set up a point, and he will go give them a Bible, sit down, talk with them, and it just gives him just that extra opportunity just to pour into their lives, get to know them a little bit more, find out where they're at, and share Christ with them. So prayer for the Russian ministry. We don't get a lot of updates right now out of Russia. We used to get them about every 2 months. Now it's about every 6 months that we get testimonials and things that have been happening with the program in Russia. Other than, you know, regular information that it is still going, that Igor and Vlad are still sharing the gospel by this means, there's just so little information coming out. In Ukraine, Ukraine is kind of sad right now. At the start of the war, Ukrainians were hopeful. They were strong. They were unified. They were bolstered by early success in the defense of their country. At the same time, in the effort to shed all ties with Russia, many began leaving the Orthodox Church, looking into evangelical Christianity. In May 2022, 4 months after war had broken out, our correspondent Victor, there's Alex and Nadia, our producers in Ukraine, but our correspondent Victor came to St. Catharines and he was sharing, and he told us that they had seen more people saved in the first 4 months of the war than they had seen in the previous 4 years in the country of Ukraine through the radio ministry. It was phenomenal. Sadly, it hasn't lasted. More than 2 years later, our correspondent, Victor, tells us that every person in Ukraine has now suffered loss as a result of the war. Every person in Ukraine knows of a loved one that has died either because of the fighting or because of something resulting from the fighting. People have lost property. They've lost employment. Everyone is suffering. Families have been torn apart. Some people sent some men sent their wives and their children away into another country to keep them safe, and it's ended up tearing the families apart. Whether or not it's just by distance or just by being apart and growing apart, marriages are breaking down. Soldiers are returning from the front lines emotionally, mentally, and spiritually broken. It's a really, really sad state that the country's in. In a country that, even before the war, struggled and had serious issues with things like high suicide rates and substance abuse, these issues have only increased as the fighting goes on. Alex and Nadia, thankfully, are both certified grief counselors, but they are fielding more calls from people ready to end their lives than they've ever experienced. That's where the nation is. They're dealing with people who are addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs. They're dealing with people who, again, are suffering severe post-traumatic stress. They're dealing with wives who have lost husbands and sons and people who have lost fathers. Again, everyone has lost someone, and they're dealing with these people. And one of the overwhelming attitudes, Because there's so much history with the Orthodox Church, it really is a, if I can call it such, a Christian nation. It's a nation of people who believe in God or have a belief in God, but because of the Orthodox influence, one of the overwhelming attitudes among Ukrainians is simply, why is God allowing this? Why isn't God stopping this? And so Alex and Nadia have to step in on top of dealing with these social issues to sort of help them understand who God is and what he's done for them in sending his son, Jesus, to save them. But we are thankful that they are both, again, certified counselors. They are able to provide that extra grief counseling, as well as having the opportunity to share the gospel. Their biggest ministry right now actually takes place in the hours after their program ends. They will spend those hours taking calls from listeners, hearing about their situation, and just praying with them. And that seems to be the biggest comfort that some of these Ukrainians can receive right now, is just to know that someone is praying for them, and that God knows what they're going through. So many have become open to hearing the gospel after having been prayed for. So keep that in mind with Russia and Ukraine. This is, unfortunately, it's a situation that doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon. And as things go on in both countries, things are getting a lot harder for the presentation of the gospel in Russia because it's being stymied by the government and the different restrictions. In Ukraine, because people are, they're becoming too overwhelmed with their personal and social issues to really have that desire to know about God and what he's done for them. So that brings us to our English language mission. I'll start with HopeStream Radio, which is still going as an on-demand internet radio site. We have a collection of program series that go through various books of the Bible, look at content from some topical issues from a scriptural viewpoint, even some testimonies of believers. We're excited to see right now that we've got about 6,000 weekly visitors to the site from all over the world, mainly from India, Canada, and the United States, but 6,000 visitors each week come to the site. They choose what programs they want to listen to, or if they prefer to read, many of our programs are actually available in blog format. They can come, they can read. We have a lot of gospel material on there. And it also hosts the landing pages for our new video campaign. Now, our YouTube video campaign, it's really our newest strategy. It's our newest outreach endeavor. Basically, we realized that while it was great to have all this content on HopeStream Radio, people really only got there because they were looking for it. They wanted to know more about the Lord Jesus. And it's great that we can have that resource available to them. But we started asking, how can we get the gospel in front of people that aren't looking for it? How can we get the gospel in front of people who don't want to hear it? And so I was watching a video on YouTube one night, and I was starting to get frustrated by the number of ads that come up through them, and I thought, you know what, there's the answer, advertising. The first step was poring through all of YouTube's terms and conditions and community guidelines to see if they'd even let us do it. And basically what we determined is, as long as we're not disparaging another people group, it was okay. And I thought, well, great, we don't need to put anyone down to share the gospel with them. So we started getting work to it. We started to develop 15-second gospel videos, which admittedly is difficult to do a lot with 15 seconds, but the advantage with them is that the viewer can't skip them. We can't force them to listen. They can do other things, but we know that the full message will be presented to them. Then we expanded to longer videos, 30, 60, even some 90-second videos. Originally, we had a series through the I Am statements that we used those as advertisements, and they had a much more gospel content to them. The challenge with those is that they could be skipped after the first 5 seconds. And originally, I thought if we get 25%, if we put these out there and 25% of the people that these are played to actually watch through the whole video, I will be happy. I will be impressed even. My lack of faith was quickly pointed out. Our average view rate for our longer message is 60%, and that's after 2 years of doing this. To put that into perspective, the average ad on YouTube for a skippable ad has a view rate of 31%. So we're almost double what the average ad is getting, and it's entirely, as the world would put it, religious content. It's messages about God and about the Lord Jesus. The Lord was getting these in front of people who were actually watching, even responding to the videos by proceeding to click on it and go through and to our website where they would be taken to our gospel pages. So then we started being more purposeful. We started creating messages themed around major events of interest, such as the total eclipse last April. So we had heard that they were expecting 1 million people in Niagara Falls to watch the eclipse because it was right on the path of totality. And so we created a 30-second video themed around the eclipse that shared the gospel with them, sort of a don't miss out approach. And we ran it for that entire weekend throughout the city of Niagara Falls and the surrounding area. And we ended up reaching about 34,000 people with the gospel that weekend, who actually watched it through, we can tell from the stats. We did one for the Olympic Games earlier this month. It was our largest campaign, our largest endeavor. We did it for the full 2 weeks of the Olympics, a series of three videos, a 15-second, a 30-second, a 60-second. We went to large cities. This was the most impressive for me. Typically, we go to Toronto, and all that happens is we get yelled at by people from Toronto for giving them religious content. We maintained a 58% view rate in the city of Toronto. Over 60,000 people there saw the message throughout the Olympics. God is getting these in front of people, and I'm always reminded when these go out of Isaiah 55, where God says, so shall be my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void. It shall accomplish, that thing that I sent it out to do. And so we recognize that God is getting his gospel. God is getting his word in front of people, and he will do great things with that. One of the other advantages that we get from this is we get all kinds of background data, what demographics are most responsible, what they're watching when the video was like, were they on CNN's site, were they on Fox News? So we can get all that information, which we can then use to plan more campaigns in the future and how we're going to do it. This graph up here shows one of our videos that didn't have a great response versus one of ours that has consistently. The You Are Loved video is a text-only video that we did, and it's over 60,000 views. But whenever we use it as an ad, it always has over 60% view rate. The Way, the Truth, and the Life had a very low view rate. That campaign specifically was in Port Colborne. But what we notice when we look at this graph is that we're losing the whole audience in the first 10 seconds. And so we learn from that. What that tells us is that it's not the content that is driving people away. It's a lack of an engaging video. And so we don't make any more videos like that because it doesn't hold people's attention. So we can get all kinds of information. This one, I know you probably can't really see there, but this actually tells us we can break it down. Those are postal codes. Those are postal codes where this last presentation ran. This was the Olympic one. And so we can see we've got, you know, a 58% view rate in C1C, which I believe is Summerside, maybe Charlottetown. But those are all the different postal codes that the ad ran in and where the view rates are. So that is coming into play going forward when we look at the next steps for these. But we actually have the ability. This one is telling us, people probably don't realize this when they start their account on Google, but this is telling us the demographics of who's watching this, you know, male, 18 to 25, not a parent, versus female, 34 to 45, parent. All of that information we get, and we can see, okay, this specific video scored really high among 18 to 25-year-olds, but the 65-plus group really didn't care for it. So when we run that again, we can target that to show primarily to that younger age demographic to keep it within those groups. Where else this comes into play, because again, we have the ability to target a single address and a radius around that address, a local community, a full city, whatever we want from a geographic standpoint, but we can also look at some of these demographics. Our plan is to create more personalized messages recorded by a person in a local fellowship and outside the building they meet in. These videos will share the gospel. They'll present an invitation to believe in Jesus, but also an invitation to come out to the meetings of that local assembly. They would be longer campaigns, usually running about 2 to 3 months in duration. And they would work as a sole means of evangelism to the local community, or in concert with a door-to-door ministry, a gospel series, a barbecue, whatever the assembly would have on the go. If it's one of the latter, we're able to share the data. If it's for like a door-to-door ministry, for example, we can share this data with the local assembly and say, okay, if you're going door-to-door, we've been running this campaign for the last month and a half. This neighborhood here has been responding really, really well. There's a good chance you might get some good conversations started in that neighborhood. And so we can work, and we want to work with local assemblies to help support their evangelistic efforts in their community to reach people with the gospel. At the end of the day, that's what this is all about. It's about getting people to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is and bringing them to a place where they are ready to acknowledge their sin before a holy God and trust in Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. And that's what we want. That's ultimately what we want. We want people coming under the sound of God's word. Now we know that all the results are up to God, and they're all to the glory of God. But we believe He has provided this means of gaining information to help us in the work that He has commissioned us to do. Again, using the technology that God has provided to glorify Him by helping the church do what He has commissioned the church to do. So looking to the future, we are considering developing a series of online Bible courses as well. It uses a software that allows the user to go through at their own pace. We can use our Bible programs, audio and video format, have some questions for them to answer, which they would get immediate feedback through the way the program's developed, and then continue on. And so it would work very much like the old Emmaus courses, but it would be instant and it would be at their own pace, and they would be able to communicate with us as needed, or just do it and, have the gospel presented as they go through the course. Finally, we're looking at expanding the gospel video ads into other languages. Now, we had started this, and we hit a bit of a roadblock in some of the translation work. We currently have French, Spanish, and Chinese almost ready to go. We have the videos scripted and recorded, and a contact willing to help us also with Nepalese, because we have a very specific community in Harrisburg, PA, that's asked us for that language. The big challenge is not so much translating the video scripts and recording the audio, but it's in preparing the landing pages so that when people do respond to the ad to learn more, when they do respond to the video, they can still go to a place in their native language and not be taken to our gospel page on Hope Stream Radio, which is now going to be in English. So we're looking for people to help us with some of those translations so that we can have a series of pages that they can be directed to in their own language so they can get further information on the gospel and what the Bible says about salvation. So that's where we're at with our English language program. I see that my time is long gone. So what I'm going to do, I've got a couple video samples from the gospel ads. I'll let some of those run, and then I'll close in prayer, and then I'll stick around for as long as I need to answer any questions that you might have, or just to share if anyone wants to know the story about the ISIS caller. I'd be happy to share that with you, but we'll do that, and then if people do need to get going, I want to be respectful of that. So this is the first 15-second video we did.
We don't know what tomorrow brings, or if we even have one. The Bible says this is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day to be saved. God wants you to receive His grace today. Will you believe in Jesus and be saved?
And then the next one is one of our Olympic ads.
What does it take for an athlete to achieve their Olympic dreams? Developing the skills and physical fitness for an Olympic-level competition requires years of rigorous training, preparation, and self-discipline. Athletes are chosen based on their performance, potential, and eligibility according to established criteria. Each sport has qualifying standards as well as rules and regulations that must be followed. Support from your country is needed. To make it to the Olympics and to take home a medal is an impressive accomplishment. Most of us will never compete in the Olympics, but there is a much more important achievement you can have today. It is not a dream you strive for, but a reality that does not fade away, nor does it only last for a moment. It is forever, the gift of eternal life given by God to anyone who will accept it. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. Click here to discover the awesome truth of God's love for you.
The next one is the eclipse message.
A total solar eclipse is visible somewhere in the world about every 18 months, but perhaps where you live, it can only be seen once in a lifetime. Jesus Christ offered himself for the sin of mankind once only. His death and resurrection will never happen again. But the forgiveness of sin and eternal life Jesus won at the cross can still be yours if you are willing to ask him for it. Don't miss out on your chance to have peace with God and everlasting life in heaven. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and believe in him today.
And then finally, we've got this was one of our longer ones that has performed the best from the I Am series. So these were never intended to be ads, but we just decided to use them. And this one has a 59% view rate.
The Gospels tell the account of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. The next day, the people returned to Jesus because they wanted to receive more of the bread that had filled them the day before. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." He said that because he knew that their desire for the physical would never satisfy. In the same way, he knows that for us today, the pursuit of wealth, possessions, career, or fame is an unending pursuit. We can never be fully satisfied with these things. There is always something more. Jesus came to give us that which does satisfy completely: forgiveness for our sins and everlasting life in the glory of heaven. To make this possible, he willingly died on the cross in our place and rose again. The Bible tells us that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That's why Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Whoever believes in him will never hunger or thirst for something greater, because there is nothing greater than what Jesus offers us. Will you believe in Jesus Christ today?
And then most importantly, thank you again for your support of FBH and for praying for us, and just for, I know many of you contact us at the office and just give us some encouragement or ask what's been going on, and we do appreciate that, because it's encouraging for us to be able to share what God is doing through this work. I'd just like to pray for you now, and then, like I said, we can dismiss, and I'll be around to answer any questions. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you so much for your wonderful glory. We thank you so much, Father, that in your love, you sent forth your Son to die for the sin of mankind on a cross. We thank you, Father, that he willingly did so, and in doing so, purchased us back to yourself. Father, we thank you that there is a means of salvation. There is a way to have everlasting life, and it is through your Son. We thank you for the wonderful gospel message that we have to share. And now, Father, as we think of what we've heard here tonight, as we think of your word, as we think of the words of your Son, commissioning those who believe in him to go forth and to spread the good news, we pray for your help. Father, we pray for this fellowship here at Charlottetown. We pray that you would embolden them. We pray that your Spirit would be with them as they seek to bring those around them, their loved ones, those in their community who are lost, who are on their way to an eternity without you, as they seek to bring them to you and to your Son. We pray, Father, that you would bless this community. We pray that this assembly would be a light in the darkness of this world, drawing people to yourself, drawing people to your Son. And we just pray, Father, that you would bless them with every blessing in Christ for the work that they do. And so, Father, we give you thanks again for this time that we've had together, for everything that you do. We know, Father, that all of it is to your glory. And we praise you in that name above all others, the Lord Jesus. Amen.